Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contentious.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. We're so excited that you decided to join us this evening. We've got a fantastic show planned for you tonight. You're really going to love this one tonight. And just so you'll know, we're asking you to also check out our newsletter. If you want to support, offer any support to the newsletter, by simply just taking out a subscription. It's only $2.50 a week, $10 a month, and you can pay in increments of 3 months at a time. So it's $30 every 3 months. You can renew, or you can pay for the whole year and get 1 month free. So it's up to you. For more information on that, you can send us an email at any one of my email addresses. But at this time, we're going to go ahead and bring in my co-host, Miss Camilla Cross, and let her introduce herself and give us a commercial. Ms. Claus, welcome to tonight's broadcast.
Hello, hello, everyone. Good evening. Good evening. I hope everyone's doing well out there today. My name is Camilla Cox. I am a licensed clinical social worker. I do have a business called Your Worth, LLC, where we do offer anger management and conflict resolution, stress management as well. If you're interested, you can definitely give me a call or a shout. I'm at 954-825-8500, or you can email me if you're feeling comfortable doing that. It's at yourworthllc@gmail.com. I know this is going to be an amazing show. I can't wait.
And we have, Ms. Cross, we have a number of things that are going on this evening. Information on not only my newsletter, but we have my book out there. It's called After the Past, Now What? And we're actually having 33% off on that book. And tonight, for the fourth caller, we're going to be able to give them an opportunity to win a free prize on tonight's show. So if you're the fourth caller, we're going to give you an opportunity to win a free prize on tonight's broadcast. Okay, so Ms. Cross, tonight's broadcast is, could you actually like your significant other but not be in love with them? Could you actually like your significant other? Can you imagine someone having a spouse? Let's say that your spouse, for whatever reason, likes you a great deal, but then later on you discover that this guy tells you that he's, I'm sorry, I'm not in love with you. How would you take something like that after being married to them, whether it's 3 months, 6 months, or a year, or 2 years?
I would feel like I was bamboozled, like you didn't know this before we got married. It's funny. I kind of hear it in the reverse, right? Because they're like, I love you and I don't really like you, which sometimes you don't really like people all the time. But to say, hey, I like you, but I don't love you, I think that would be a very hard pill to swallow. Especially the fact that the concept of marriage is love. So for the most part, right? Because we say love, we get married for different. But for the most part, the concept of marriage is love. So why would you marry me if you don't love me? Like I would really be I would be taken back. To be honest with you, I would be side eyeing him, thinking that maybe something's wrong upstairs, because I don't know anyone that you just I like you, but I don't love you. That's like wasting someone's time.
Yeah, and you know, unfortunately, this happens a lot, and you're gonna hear some stories in our. I mean, you're going to hear something along these lines in tonight's story that we'll get to in about 3 or 4 minutes. But this, unfortunately, happens all the time. And you begin to wonder, how do people let this sort of thing happen to them? How is it that you got married to someone, but you're going to see in tonight's broadcast and in tonight's story how sometimes these things can happen to people? For various reasons. But, I mean, I know that if this were the situation for me, I would be devastated to hear someone say, now that we've already crossed that path of getting married, and then to find out that my significant other doesn't love me, I would be devastated. Or, in fact, I would even be hurt to know that I didn't love my own spouse. I would be very devastated because I wonder, what did I do?
I've heard cases where people fall out of love. Like, I guess that can happen, you know. But it's. I think that would be definitely, like, what would be the intention of you marrying me and you don't love me? Like, I don't get it, you know. That would be very hard. That, you know, because the thing is, like I said, people have their arrangements on why they get married. They have their agreement on why they get married. You know, the 30-year-old who marries the 70 or 80-year-old, we know that that marriage has some other reasons why they typically get married. But for the most part, I would be confused as to, if you know you didn't love me, what was your intention in marrying me? You know, there's some people who don't want to get married. You're okay with having whatever kind of relationship they establish and agree to have, you know.
Uh-huh.
So why go ahead and do the whole idea of marriage if you don't
love
me?
Well, okay, well, right. Let's find out in tonight's story momentarily before we go to the phone lines. Let's go to the story right now, and then we'll reiterate some of this throughout tonight's story. We want you all to also join us here tomorrow night. We've got a very good topic coming up tomorrow night. I'll mention that shortly in our broadcast. But it's sort of a continuation from last week. You know, if God gave you a talent to sing, should you only sing church songs? But it's a different topic, but it borders along some of a similar line. So you'll definitely want to tune in tomorrow night. Let's take a look at tonight's story. Let's see here. All right. Tonight's topic, yes, let's go there now. Our characters in tonight's story are Zanitra and Yule. Zanitra, of course, being the female, and Yule is the male. Zanitra married Yule after dating him for only 3.5 months. 3.5 months might sound, you know, short time, but you can even date somebody for 7 years and still not know them. They're both 29 years of age and knew of each other some 11 years ago in high school. They were never friends because in high school their paths never really crossed. They met through another former classmate who happened to know them. Zanitra had been dating another guy for over 7 years and thought they would get married and start a family. The other guy ended up leaving her for a woman he met on the job and married that woman. Of course, that news devastated Zanitra, causing her to become so seriously depressed. In her depressed state of mind, it appears she became desperate and wanted a man to get married with in order to start having a family because she felt her time clock was ticking in terms of having children. Now, so 2 months after the other guy left her is when she met Yule. They hung out quite a bit, and things were going extremely well. Now, out of impulse, Yule dared her to get married and make things permanent. In her state of mind with loneliness, despair, heartbreak, and depression, she accepted his challenge without telling family or friends, and within a week, they were married at a courthouse. Yule is a great guy with morals, ethics, and, of course, a good man that was a prime reason Zanitra took a strong liking to him. Unfortunately, 4 months into the marriage and countless talks with her best friend, Zanitra was not happy with him because she realized she liked him a great deal but was not at all in love with him. She felt certain that Yule loved her, but she just could not find in her heart a reason to reciprocate that feeling, partly since she was still in love with her ex-boyfriend. Now the test challenge, or now the test or the challenge comes to tell him that she's not in love with him. He has recently told her that he thought it was time they started a family and build upon their future together as husband and wife. Demetra, on the other hand, is convinced she does not feel the same way and does not want to have children with a man whom she is not in love with. Now Demetra is faced with a serious dilemma and not knowing exactly how to tell her husband that she likes him but is clearly not in love with him, which will ultimately lead to where do they go from here. Ms. Cross, tonight's question I start out with you in asking, why do you think Demetra rushed into marriage? I mean, it almost seems like it's right there in front of us, but why do you think she rushed into marriage?
Wow, it just sounds like a classic case of rebound love. You know, like a rebound.
Yeah.
She got out of it, you know, severed that 2-year itch, right? So she was in this relationship for 7 years to this man who, if you're in there in that relationship for that long, you think you're going to marry the guy. So in her mind, she already started formulating, I guess, what life would look like with this man. And then he goes and he deals with someone else. So she, of course, it sounds like she didn't really give herself time to heal. So in the midst of her trying to find some type of comfort, she meets Yule, and Yule is, you know, maybe smitten with her, and he dares her to get married, you know. I don't know. She took the bait, and now she doesn't even love this guy. And, you know, I feel so bad for Yule, even though, in a sense, Yule should have known that, because I don't know if she disclosed to him. I'm just going to assume she did. She was with him for 7 years. 3 months in, you're going to ask her to marry her. What was the rush? You know, what was the rush in getting to know each other? Or was it, you know, it works for some people. Some people get married the day that they meet, and they're together for 50 years. You know, there's always exceptions to the rules. But in this case, it just sounds like red flags from the very beginning.
Absolutely. If you all want to chime in, by all means, we're going to go to the phone lines momentarily. We're going to go to 754-244 first, and then we're going to go to 508-332. If you want to be able to chime in tonight, by all means, press 1 on your dial, and we will be happy to hear your thoughts on this subject tonight. Let's go first to 754-244. And Ms. Cross, I think you are so right in what you're saying. She rushed into this, and assuming that she did offer disclosure to you, you should have been smart enough to realize that, you know what, this woman needs time. But then how do you, I mean, if things are going so well, and sometimes people do things impulsively. I've known of people that go to Las Vegas, and they have a chapel there. I've seen it. And and then after meeting and hanging out for a little while, and they're not always drunk, and they decide, let's go ahead and do this, all right, because we're having so much fun. This is whom I probably have met for the rest of my life. We're probably going to always be like this here. Let's go to the phone line, 754-244. Welcome to the Dr. Jess Walker Show. You're live. Who do we have with us?
Hi, Dr. Walker. It's Lady C. How are you?
Lady C, we're doing just great. Good to hear from you, Lady C. Lady C, tell us, what do you think? I mean, here it is. I mean, woman just being dumped by a man after 7 years, and she liked him enough because he's a good guy, but she's just not in love with him. How do you deal with that?
It's a tough one. I mean, people make a whole lot of mistakes, you know, impulsively, as you said, without thinking about it. And unfortunately, it's just a part of the sin world, you know. It's just people do crazy things, and crazy things happen to people. I mean,
you said part of the sin rule?
I said it's part of the world. Yeah, people, a lot of times people are just not conscious as they should be. And they just make crazy decisions. It's just, it is sad, but it happens. People get married for motives, you know. People always have different motives. Some are true and some is not. And it turned out that a lot of times both parties are not on the same page. In her case, she was on a rebound, and she didn't allow herself to should take time to heal, as Ms. Cross said. She did not take time. I think it's pride. Sometimes it's pride and ego that allows someone, in her case, to do that. I mean, she could not accept the idea of loss. She couldn't accept loss. And maybe her pride would not allow her to just heal. She wanted to be in the group of the marital many without love, you know. She was ashamed that the guy left her, dropped her like a hot potato and moved on. And she needed to maybe prove something to herself that someone could want her and someone could want to marry her, you know. I don't know.
Okay.
What's going on in her head, but it wasn't fair to the guy.
Yeah, I mean, Lady C, let me ask you this question. Does this guy, does Yule deserve this? Does he deserve this? I mean, let's think about it. When I asked that question, because, I mean, assuming that she offered disclosure to him, I mean, he jumped into it too. So does he deserve this? You know, like, ha-ha, that's what you get for jumping in with somebody who wasn't ready.
You know, there's two ways to look at it, Dr. Walker. You might say he deserves it because he didn't think about it. But she could also play a good role that she's ready. Even though she heard his stories.
Okay.
Even
all right, though
she said all of that, you know, she might really believe that, you know what, maybe she'll come around. You know, she's really a good catch. She seems to like me. You know, I'll just go for it. So he took a chance too, and who's to say if he might deserve it, he might not deserve it. I mean, we all have to think when it comes to relationship, but we all also make mistakes.
Right.
If you're taking
right.
it from a world perspective, you make mistakes. Even Christians do that foolishness. I mean, it happens to people. It's a tough call to judge on, you know.
Right. Ms. Cross, let me bring you back in here. Ms. Cross, I got to ask this question. I mean, well, I hear what Lady C is saying, that even Christians do this foolishness, but the way that I see Christians, they're no different from any other people. You know, they are humans first before they take on a title. So let me ask you this question, Ms. Cross. Let me bring you in here and ask this question here. I mean, assuming she gave him the disclosure, he jumped in there with her. Could this couple possibly just one day fall in love? Could she fall in love? You was already in love. Can she fall in love with him? And is it worth the risk of waiting it out until you do?
You know, anything's possible. Is it more unlikely than not? Like, I don't know. If she's already feeling like this, I feel like it'll be forced. But I'm going to play devil's advocate, right? Because while we were talking,
right.
I was listening about Yuli. And who I think, okay, so this might or might not be the situation, but maybe
right.
he took advantage of her vulnerability at the time.
Okay.
Because at the time, we don't know how the conversation went, but if she's there and, you know, a lot of times coming out of a 7-year relationship, I'm sure the ex's name or some type of remembrance or situation may have came up in their conversation. So maybe he,
right.
you know, I'm just playing devil's advocate. He might have said, you know, everything that this guy didn't do for her, I'm going to do. So he's trying to show
uh-huh.
her another side, mess her up to marry her, right? So at the time,
right.
she's, okay, yes, he's doing everything that the other guy didn't do. You know, the grass is always greener, that type of thing. So now I'm like, well, maybe you leave. You know, he saw something that he wanted. It was a divide and conquer type of situation, and he took advantage. He could have taken advantage of her vulnerability at the time. But I don't know anymore.
Yeah, I know. It's very difficult. Again, if you want to speak to this issue tonight, press 1 on your dial. We would love to hear your thoughts. You can press 1, and we will bring you on to the studio. Lady C, I want to just ask this question just quickly here, and that is, I mean, how do you even know if somebody loves you? How do you know if somebody loves you? So, in other words, couldn't you have even, you know, couldn't he have some kind of insight that maybe this woman doesn't love me? And, I mean, love, they say, is an action word. Yeah, she could be doing the things around the house and whatever. Whatever a wife does, right? A wifely role, if there's such a thing. But couldn't you have discovered somewhere along the way that, shouldn't he have known that maybe she doesn't love me? How do you know when someone loves you?
You know, Dr. Walker, okay. So maybe the guy, we don't know the story, as Ms. Cross said, right? Maybe he himself was coming out of something that he didn't share with her. Maybe he was on the rebound. Maybe he was desperate to hook up with a nice lady, too, who was hurting.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as I listen, I just think of this big, fat, ugly word, narcissism, you know?
Uh-huh.
A lot of times you get caught up with narcissists, and it goes both ways, male and female. And narcissists do some crazy things that make it look real at first. And any of these parties could have been a narcissist who claimed
right.
to be looking
okay.
for love and all of that and just caught the right person, or so they think.
All right, exactly. So they think. Hold on 1 second, Lady C. Let's go to the phone lines once again. Let's go to 561-396. You're live on the Dr. Jess Walk Show, and who do we have with us?
This is Beverly from Florida. Hello, Dr.
Beverly from Florida. Hi, thank
yes,
you for joining us,
Pam,
Beverly
and everyone on the line. I've been listening to these ladies' opinions, but what I'm saying is if someone is living with somebody or going with somebody for 7 years, there got to be some good quality to this guy. Maybe he was a good provider, but he wasn't a good lover or whatever it is why she cheated on him. But I just think in time they would have gotten it together. She would have fallen in love with him because after 7 years you get to know somebody. There are no strangers
right. Well,
anymore.
Right. Well, in this case, Beverly, I don't know how much of the story you heard, but actually, Anitra.
A little bit.
Huh?
I heard
a
little
bit. Of the story. Okay, well, actually, in this story, Zanitra was dating another guy, her ex-boyfriend. She dated him for 7 years. He actually dumped
mm-hmm.
her. He dumped her and married a woman he met on the job. And he married a woman he met on the job. And so 2 months later, she met Yule, this guy. Zanitra met Yule 2 months. So she's already heartbroken. She's depressed. And, I mean, she's just going through so much. And then when you hanging out, they kind of kicked it. I mean, it was going real well. And then he challenged her and said, let's just get married and live a life like this forever. And she took the challenge in her depressed state. And now, you know, 4 months into the marriage, she's realizing now that she likes him a lot because he's a good guy. But she's not in love with him because she's still in love with her ex-boyfriend. Now you follow with us, Beverly?
Yes.
So
no, I'm following, but...
Yeah, go ahead.
Cool. You go ahead first and let's say what you were going to say, please.
No, I was just going to say, so now it comes the time when it's time for her to tell him because he's ready to start having children with her and so they can start a family. So now the question becomes, you know, does she tell him the truth that she's not in love with him and that she doesn't want to start a family with him? I mean, that's going to break the guy's heart.
Well, I don't think she should tell him because she was still hurting at the time and may still hurt for a little while. But then I think eventually she would have fallen in love with him because maybe the guy would be a good provider. Like I said, no woman gave up a good provider. It got to be a reason why she kind of liked him.
Wow. Well, Ms. Beverly, I tell you, I kind of see it a little differently. I think, you know, last week we had a show, The Truth Will Set You Free. And I think that she needs to confront that demon, not him being the demon, but the demon within herself that she's not in love
with him.
That's right. We're going to ask you to stand by. We're going to ask you to stand by. Please don't go away. And others of you all, if you want to speak to the issue, press 1. Let's go to 305-769. You're live on the Dr. Jess Walk Show. Who do we have with us? And welcome.
Good evening, everyone. This is Ms. Augustine. How's everyone doing?
Thank you, Ms. Augustine, for joining us.
Hi.
Ms. Augustine, what are your thoughts, Ms. Augustine?
Okay. I think you've been living in my head.
Oh.
In my life.
I'm sorry, Ms. Augustine. All these stories are inspired by true stories.
Okay.
And what's happened to you has happened to hundreds of millions of other people.
Okay. My first husband, you know, he was beautiful, tall, handsome. And he told me when I was 14 that he was going to marry me. He was 15 years older than me. And I turned 18, 19, and we got married. And I was in love. And he was not a good man. And when things got bad for us, he told me one day when I left, he said, I didn't love you when I married you, but I like you. And I like your lifestyle and the way you live your life, the way you treat people. That he eventually fell in love with me. But he wasn't a good person. He wasn't a good person.
So did that make you feel, how did that make you feel? Here's a man telling you that he liked you, but he didn't love you.
He said he didn't love me when he first met me, but that eventually
right.
he did fall in love with me, but I was gone. So I think he was telling me that because he wanted me back. And
okay.
It broke my heart because I can tell he didn't love me because no one would treat a person that way, the way he treated me. You know, what man shoot at his wife, you know, when she tried to leave? You know, a man does that.
Wow. Wow, that is heavy. That is deep. I'm so sorry that you had to go through that experience. You know, we're going to ask you, Ms. Augustine, we're going to ask you to stand by just for a second. And let me go, Ms. Cross, let me ask you this question, and then Lady C, we're going to bring you back in and ask you the question again, because I don't think we got an answer from you on that. But let's begin with Ms. Cross. Ms. Cross, how do you know when someone, and we got an upcoming show on this topic, how do you know if someone really loves you or they're in love with you?
I think actions. Yes, most definitely, Ms. Augustine. And I know, Dr. Walker, you said it as well earlier, you know, that love is an action. It's not just a word. And, you know, if we look at the biblical standpoint of what love is, it's a whole list of different actions that God aligns with love. But I think that, you know, it's a feeling as well, you know, because when we feel
mm-hmm.
love, we feel security, we feel comfort, you know. And I think, like Ms. Augustine said, it's hard for someone to love you and want to hurt you, you know. That's in the line, you know. But a lot of times, and I say this, we can't expect someone to give us something that they don't have. There's a lot of people out here who want to be all in love, but they don't have the love for themselves. And
uh-huh.
because of that, that's why there's so many broken, you know, dysfunctional relationships, because people don't take time to learn themselves and love themselves before they go into this whole idea of, quote unquote, loving someone else and expecting this type of love in return that they don't even know how to deal with. Like, they don't even know how to handle the love that they give or the love that they receive.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, just before we bring Lady C back in, you know, a lot of people really don't understand love itself. And I agree, it is an action word, and it's also a feeling. You know, some people don't think that love is a feeling, but it is a feeling. You know, and of course you can like someone but not be in love with them. You can like someone just as a friend. You can actually have a guy friend or a lady friend or girlfriend and of the opposite sex, of course, and then you just really don't feel that. You know, not to and they may want to cross the line and say, hey, let's start dating, but you're like, I don't feel that way towards you. You know, so I don't think that a lot of people really understand what love is. Love is a feeling. I've got to not only like you, I got to feel something stronger than like that. I'm willing to love you despite, you know, like, hey, I'm not going to always like you, but I know I will always love you and I'll be in love with you. And some people don't understand that true love, when, like a man, Percy Sledge said it best, when a man loves a woman, when a man loves a woman, if you all haven't heard that song, you might want to listen to it. You know, he is almost like he gives up anything. With the number of women out here, when that man is zoomed in on that one woman that he really loves, he can actually love, and it might be the same for women, he can actually love that woman forever, even though it didn't work out, he may be with somebody else, he can still be in love with that woman. And some people say, well, pray about it and you'll get over it. And I do believe that prayer answers things. But sometimes that love is said is the strongest force in the universe, and you can actually love someone, and you can love them to death. You can actually love them that long. Lady C, let's bring you back in and ask you to just focus on the question. And the question is, how do you know when someone's in love with you? How do you know? That's all. Just answer that one question for us, please.
Dr. Walker, it is a compact thing. It's action. It's more so action than anything else. I mean, it's easy to say I love you, but show me that you love me. And it's different for everyone, but not every action is true either. So there, you have to. It's hard. You have to really see what it is. Okay, so everyone has a different love language. Okay, Dr. Walker, everyone does have a different love language, and if that person meets, satisfies your love language, then you'll know that that person loves you. If that person does not satisfy your love language, then you're in trouble. It doesn't matter what they do, how they act, you're in trouble.
All right. So, Lady C, here, I mean, you've got, before Dr. Gary Chapman came on, which you're citing actually his book, The Five Love Languages, before that book even came out, people didn't even realize it was coined the phrase love languages. So what were people doing prior to that? We're going to ask you to stand by just for a second. Ms. Cross, let me bring you back in here. What were people doing before that to determine that this person, I know that this person is in love with me? Because anybody can be nice. You can have a boyfriend, a girlfriend, or a husband, or wife, and they're just basically doing their role. But that doesn't mean that they're in love with you. So I want to know, how do you know, without a shadow of a doubt, I know this person loves me?
You know what? And I know we talked about love languages, and that is very important. And I'm glad that, you know, there's a book there, because we're not paying attention. It depends on how you're raised a lot of times on what love looks like
to
you.
Okay,
sometimes it's a cultural thing. Sometimes it's just when you grew up, you know, your experiences. And some people might say, you know what, I show love by showering gifts, right? If I take care of my house and I buy her a gift every now and again, she should know I love her. And the woman might be like, no, I want the affection. I want you to come home and kiss me before you leave and kiss me when you come home. And he's like, that's not really what I do, you know. And the thing is, that can cause conflicts in relationships unintentionally, because this guy is like, listen, I'm taking care of every part of the house, right? I'm probably getting a little personal, but I'm taking care of every part of the house.
Right.
You should be great. You know, you should be appreciative that I'm doing all of this. And I'm like, okay, but where's the affection? And,
right.
You know, so the whole thing is just to give an example, you know, a lot of times if you don't really recognize that there's a difference in how people love, then it can cause confusion. And then sometimes, unfortunately, you go looking, you know, for something that's not there. So a lot of times I think it's vital to kind of sit back and, you know, definitely study the person that you're with and have communication in terms of, you know, what you're looking for and what they can actually offer you. Because that makes a big difference.
It does. It does. I love what you said. You said something. You brought out a word in there that I think I've been looking for someone to say. And we talk about a feeling. We talk about demonstration. But you brought out the word affection. Because there's a lot of, I know, in Lady C, you're always talking about the Christian part of people and so forth and so on, which is fine. That is okay. But I'm also saying that they're no different than anybody else out here, especially when it comes to even love. So you mentioned, Ms. Cross, affection. I know of a lot of couples, whether they call themselves Christians or otherwise. And I'm not attacking Christians at all. Not at all. But I know a lot of couples who are churchgoers and so forth and so on, and these people don't even love it. They're not even in love with each other. They're not even in love. I had a couple that's been married over 35 years. Both of them said to me, they never really showed that they were in love. They don't call each other these sweet names. And I say, well, are you all in love? I had to interview them one time. And the man says clearly, "No, I'm not. I'm not in love with my wife." And I looked at her, and she says, "I'm not in love with him either. We both established that years ago that we're not in love with each other." I say, "Well, what in the world would keep you all together, staying together in a marriage?" And they say, "Well, Jesus." Lady C, so let me bring you in here. I mean, and the Jesus that I have heard about and come to want to feel that I know is all about love. So how do you not be in love with your spouse after all of these years, and you're saying Jesus keeps us together?
I'm going to
hold off on Lady C.
Jesus is love.
Go ahead.
So I don't know how two people stay together. Knowing Jesus as Christians and know that Jesus is love, but they do not love each other, but they manage to stay together and keep a relationship together, they're special. They're very special.
Mm.
I mean, compatibility plays a very great role in a relationship. I don't know what keeps them together, but, you know, I mean, I'm lost. I'm lost for words, Dr. Walker. I can't help you out with this one at all.
I understand. Let's go to 347-740. 347-740, you're live on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Who do we have with us, and welcome?
Hi, Dr. Walker. This is Monica.
Monica, thank you so much for joining us. Monica, it's good to hear from you tonight. Monica, tell us, I mean, how can you be married for 35 years and actually say in front of your spouse, "I like them, but I'm not in love with them, and I haven't been for years," and both parties agree. And but yet you're saying Jesus keeps you all together.
Lord have mercy. I didn't want to answer that part. I wanted to answer the question about how do you know when somebody loves you. I mean, Dr. Walker, that's the one that I think I am able to answer tonight. But how do I know that somebody loves me?
Answer that one then. Answer that one. How do you know if somebody loves you or they're in love with you?
I feel it. I always have this little cliche that says love is patient, love is kind, love is humble all of the time, not easily angered, and during the test. So never forget, love is the most excellent way. I can feel it, Dr. Walker. I really think I know when somebody loves me. I really believe, because I feel it deep down in my heart. I mean, you just always want to be with that person. I mean, not that you don't have differences, but I mean, the people that I really love, I have fun with them. I always want to be with them whenever time is possible, but I feel it way down deep in my heart. I'm telling you, it makes me excited when I experience love. I mean, just by a demonstration, I mean, I just enjoy that moment.
All right, Monica, we're going to ask you to stand by. I think we're getting somewhere now with your responses and some of the response, a collection of the response we're hearing. Because I tend to agree with you. It's a feeling that's so deep that you get excited to be around the person, or knowing that you're going to see them, you start to get excited. You can't wait. And it's almost like you long for them when you're not there with them. That's when you know someone's in love with you. That's when, and they're having that feeling, and they're indicating this to you, and they're always trying to get to you, not get away from you. Let's bring Beverly back in. Beverly, let's bring you in. Beverly, what's your concept on, I heard you say earlier that maybe they will fall in love, Zanitra and Yule, that maybe she will love him eventually. I mean, why stay there and take that risk when you know that now this man is getting ready to talk about having children, and this is your husband, but you realize, I don't want to have children with him because I'm not in love with him. What do you do? Do you fake that and go ahead and give the man a child anyway, thinking that it's going to change?
She's a hurting woman, so that has to be taken into consideration, number one, that when he met her, she was already a hurting woman, and she needs time. And over time, wounds does get healed, and over time, people does change. And I wouldn't say they should have babies that quickly, but, you know, give her time. I believe she would have fallen in love with him because I would think he's a very nice, loving, compassionate guy.
Okay, we're going to ask
you
to stand by.
You have to give people a chance. And could I say something about people who have been married for 30-some-odd years and not in love?
Yes.
Because I've known couples. I've had a friend, a couple friend, and I spent a little while at their home, and they're both married for 35 years, and I had a hard time understanding their relationship, and she wouldn't want to talk about it. He would talk about it, but she would just say, you know, just leave it where it is. Don't worry about it. And they would both sleep in other different rooms and all that. And
wow.
I keep saying to her, you know, I can't understand. You know, what's really going on here? Give me the reason to just understand. You've been married all these years, and now you're both living single. And she said it's a long story. So I'm just thinking that maybe people who are going through and married that long, they have issues like everybody else, and you know, they just can't connect anymore, because that I still, you know, I'm puzzled still now over their relationship. And when they go to church, they're okay, they don't sit together or anything, but they are like normal, but at home it's not normal.
You see,
so you know, that's something I'll never get used to understanding.
Absolutely. So Beverly, they go to church, they're okay, so isn't that a form of faking it? Isn't that a
yes.
form of faking it?
It is.
You know,
it
so
is.
So I mean, is God pleased with that, in your opinion? I mean, we
no.
I mean, could God
no, because when I talked to her husband, he has a different opinion of things, you know. He told me that he said some nights I cried. And when I said to her, you know, you have to pay some attention to your husband. He tells me that sometimes he cry. She said, I tell you to stay out of it. Don't try to fix it. So
oh,
I still don't
goodness.
Know what really happened. But this is happening more than people know in people's lives who have been married for years.
Wow.
It's
this
not,
is, you know,
it's not
and
just
I,
the isolated issue.
No, I know it's not. I know it's not. And yet people... Miss Cross, I got to bring you in because I like the fact that you're my co-host, and oftentimes, sometimes we don't agree, but the one thing that we can mutually say that we agree upon is we keep it real. Would you agree to that?
I agree.
Yeah, we keep it real, and so I got to ask you, why would somebody torture themselves in a marriage for so long? And now you've resorted to the point of sleeping in separate bedrooms. Come on, and yet you call yourself going to church every week. Why would you live in a phony world like that when there could be also a chance that somebody is tipping out there? You understand? But yet they will look at other people judgmentally and say, oh, he divorced his wife. She divorced her husband. But these people will stay together and somebody tips out. There's a good likelihood of a man who's a heterosexual man, if he's not, you know, with his wife, that man is still in good with some other woman, if he's a heterosexual man. Miss Cross, let's bring you in here. And, of course, there's always the exception to that rule. But, Miss Cross, come on. I just can't see how people can fake this for so long.
You know, I think there's a few factors, right? So one of the factors may be convenience. I think the other thing is, once you've been in a situation for so long, sometimes people create their own realities. So
they do, absolutely.
I don't know what happened in the situation that the caller was talking about with, you know, her friends who were married for 30 years. It sounds like there's some unresolved issues. Definitely on the wife's side, where forgiveness didn't happen, and, you know, the husband might be seeking forgiveness. You know, in my head, I'm thinking all kind of stuff. But it's definitely a one-sided situation. Somebody's, you know, this is not an agreed-upon situation to where they're like, we're together, we're not in love, but we're okay with that. Like, I know, Dr. Walker, the couple you spoke about, it sounded like they came to some type of mutual agreement that, hey, I don't really want you, you don't want me, but, you know, we only got one mortgage to pay, you know?
This is the crazy. craziest thing I've ever heard in my life, that people
it
are staying together out of convenience. Yeah, look, we got to take some of the comments that have come in.
Yes, it is.
We're going to take some of the comments that have come in. Let's begin with this first one. Ms. Walsh, we'll give you this first one here. This comment, this female writes in, she says, could you like your significant other but not be in love with them? When I dated my husband for 3 months prior to our getting married, just like tonight's story, I liked him and was really in love. I was really in love with him, or so I thought at the time. As time progressed in our marriage, I realized we had nothing really in common. It made me realize I was not in love with him, even though I liked him very much. I think I just got caught up with the hype of a new relationship. Ms. Cross, does that happen? I think that happens to a lot of people. They get caught up with the hype of a new relationship.
And I could see that. I think I've witnessed that in friendships and stuff like that. Because I think that what happens is, in these cases, is you think that you're in love. You know, I don't think they go into it like, you know what, I'm just going to marry this person for convenience. There is an actual thought that I love this person. And then you start learning, especially when it's early in the situation, you don't really know this person. So now you start to learn who this person is, and you're like, who is this much? It's not always so bad. But who is this person that I call myself to be in love with? Like, you don't even know the person good enough to say you're in love, you know? And I'm not knocking anyone's situation, because everybody's situation is different. But I think that you definitely need to see the good, the bad, and the ugly, and ask yourself the question, like, is this something that – can I love him when it's the good, the bad, and the ugly? You know, when he's at his worst, can I still love this man? You might not like him. You might not like the things he does. But at the end of the day, do you still love this person? Always said if you have to hesitate, you should either wait or you need to make another decision. You know what I mean? So.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Let's go to the phone lines once again. Let's go to the phone lines and bring someone else in here. Let's go to 786-319. 786-319. You're live on the Dr. Jess Walker Show. Who do we have with us, and welcome?
Hello, Dr. Walker. Hello, Ms. Cross, and hello to all the callers.
Hello.
This is Sister Marjorie.
Sister Marjorie, thank you for joining us, Sister
Very
Marjorie.
Very interesting topic. I'm enjoying it. I was just listening.
Okay, great. Uh-huh. Could you see yourself, Sister Marjorie, while we've got you on here, could you see yourself being married to someone for 35 years if you're not in love with them?
No, it's very hard, you know, because love is a give and take thing. And, you know, I guess sometimes, you know, you're with the person and sometimes this minute they're good, next minute they're not. So, you know, because you got so used to them, you stay with them, but you could love the person, but you don't like things that they do. You know, because sometimes I could say, look, I love you, but things you do, I don't like things that you do or things that you say. But, you know, because the person has some good about them, you try to balance it and, you know, stay with them, you know, and, you know, try to work out things. And so that's the way I feel, you know. But it's very hard. It's not easy being with somebody you don't love them. It's not easy. It's not easy. You just try to make it work. That's all.
You know, and that's a good point. We've got to get to some of them. We're going to take about four more of the comments. We're about 12 minutes before we start to close the show out tonight. This is a deep topic. Could you actually like your significant other but not be in love with them? This is really, I mean, after 35 years and someone says, I don't love my wife, right in front of them, or I don't love my husband, right in front of them. And to say that Jesus keeps them together, I probably could never understand anything like that. Lady C, we're going to give you this next comment that is coming to the studio. But there are so many, and we've got an upcoming show. They're telling me now that, are you in a loveless marriage? That we have that upcoming in a few weeks. Are you in a loveless marriage? All right, let's take another comment. Lady C, this one's going to be for you. This male writes in, could you like your significant other but not be in love with them? He says, I personally think there are a lot of relationships out there where people are not in love with each other but are there for the convenience, in some cases, not being alone. So how important is that? I mean, you're just with this person for convenience because you don't want to be alone. Come on, Lady C.
Dr. Walker, I would rather be alone.
Yeah.
Mm.
I would rather be alone. If I'm going to live with someone just for the convenience because I don't want to be alone, then I am
right.
alone anyway.
Right.
I'm alone
absolutely.
Anyway. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
What good is that
absolutely.
Person to me if we cannot have a communicative relationship? We can't
mm-hmm.
love upon each other. We can't
mm-hmm.
do things together. It doesn't make sense. You're living a lie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, of all the scenarios that you're throwing out there, Dr. Walker, everyone is just living a lie. It's pretentious, and I think even for the Christian couple, God is mad. They're living a lie.
Yeah.
It's best you go by yourself
yeah.
and just and hang out with your girlfriend or hang out with your buddies and just
mm-hmm.
just live, for heaven's sake,
it's
instead of existing. Too many people
absolutely.
Exist in a relationship, and I'm not knocking anyone. To each his own. There, people have various reasons why they stay in a loveless relationship.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But yeah. if it works for you, hallelujah. It's not for me. I mean, I'm sorry, Dr. Walker.
You know,
I can't. I the personality that I have, I need somebody who is going to show me that they love me. I must feel
right.
it. I must see it.
Mm-hmm.
I must live it.
Right.
You know, in spite of the differences, I must wallow in it, and I must know that I am loved. I am the special one in this person's heart, this person's life, this person whatever. And, actually, I mean, it's very clear when someone does not love you. And
yeah.
it you just can't fake it.
You no,
can't
you
fake
can't.
It.
You
so
can't. And, you know, Go ahead, quickly.
Okay.
No, I was just
going
to say, you know, and
what type of agreement that this couple came to when they both sat in front of you that they do not love each other. They're not in love with each other, but they're still together. They must really know how to communicate. They're two great communicators. To come to the point
mm-hmm.
of admitting to each other that, you know what, we don't love each other, but we're just going to stay together for whatever the motive is behind it. But I still think it's psychologically sick. I think they're
yeah,
sick.
I agree with you.
I think they're
mental. I agree with everything that you said. And, you know,
it's not reality.
You have families out there, unfortunately. You have families out there that know that you all are in a loveless marriage, and they support that. You know, you may have a daughter or a son who's gone to their family members and say, you know, I just don't feel it for my husband. But it's almost like you're trapped in something, in bondage, and you're not even free to be who you are because you don't even really want to go home. I don't understand it. Ms. Cross, let's bring you in. Give me some help on this here. How do people stay in bondage in their marriage, and then they call themselves the church is the thing that, oh, this may, I, you know, we're going to prepare and we're going to go to church and all of this kind of stuff, and you're faking it. Ms. Cross, what are your thoughts on that?
Okay, so don't I'm sorry. I'm a Christian. I love the Lord. Don't crucify me. There, people go to church. So, okay, some people go to church because they're seeking something, right? Some people go because they want, you know, they want to build a closer relationship. But I think a lot of people go to church for some type of redemption, for seeking some type of relief. And what happens is they miss the concept of what it's about. So when you're seeking something, you miss what God is trying to really give to you. So
yes.
I can see how people can go home, close the door, and be heathens and crazy, and go to church and put on this performance. Because if you're able to live a lie in one part of your life, it's so easy to live a lie in all parts of your life. So to some extent. Because even with you being, you know, I hear people, my husband, and then when you get down to the gritty of it, I'm like, that's your husband who has no respect for you, who is all over the place, who, you know.
Absolutely.
You know, so it's some, you know, the thing is, but we create our own realities, and that's what gives us comfort. Not everybody, I'm just saying, in these people's cases. So I think that's how it's so easy for them to walk that walk.
Okay, we're going to ask you to stand by. Sister Marjorie, let's bring you in for this next comment.
And we are only about 4 minutes out from closing the show, so if you all could just speak 20 seconds or less, it would be greatly appreciated because we're going to try to get in three more. Sister Marjorie, this female writes in, she says, I believe it is natural to sometimes feel like you are in love with your significant other. She says she believes it's natural, although even when you don't always like them. Is it natural? Is it natural, Sister Marjorie, to feel like you're in love with your significant other, even when you don't always natural?
No,
I'm having a hard time with that one.
That's not natural at all.
Sister Marjorie. Sister Marjorie, go ahead.
Yes, okay.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think sometimes you can feel that naturally, although you're not necessarily, you know, in love with a person. I think sometimes it comes natural, but sometimes you love the person, but things that they do, you really don't like things that they do and things that they say. You know, that's the way I feel about that.
Okay, we're going to ask you to stand by, Sister Marjorie. Thank you so much for that. Let's go
to our
next caller. Let's go to 610-714. Who do we have on the show, and welcome?
Hi, good evening. My name is Sister Lee Wong. Okay, so I just came in on the conversation, and I kind of gleaned from what we're talking about, you know, what the topic is. Okay, first of all, we have to change our concept of what church is. We are the church. So the church is not necessarily that building that we go to, because as couples or whatever, you know, you're going to an event. So it's like, you know, society has programmed us, you know, like, okay, just, you know, the Bible talks about having a form of godliness and denying the power. So that couple, although they're bickering and fighting and meanness is going on under the roof, when you go to church, I've had the experience. So I'm talking from experience, you know, you go to church, this building, it's this event. And so it's the fakeness, you know. But when we come to the understanding of us being the church, wherever we are, in the home, at work, wherever, in the car, we are the church. So then it takes on a whole other meaning that God is present. And so now you, as you pursue Christ, you want to be like him in your home where you're witnessing to those children. They're seeing mom and dad bickering, and then they go to church, and you're seeing this loving dad and loving mom. Wait a minute. What is this? You know, so we have to get that understanding that we are, wherever we are representing Christ. Amen.
And that's absolutely right. All right.
No.
Thank you for that so much, Ms. Wong. We've got about 2 minutes, and they're threatening me already over here. You know, I still can't get it in my mind that people would live in a loveless marriage or stay in a loveless relationship. It's got to be for convenience. So let's bring in Beverly. Let's give you this next comment. And this female, she says, this male, he writes in, he says, I've heard on your show a few weeks ago, Dr. Walker, that you should really consider the commitment to the relationship as opposed to just looking at the thought of just being in love. Ms. Beverly, let's bring you in here now. I mean, yeah, I remember we had a couple on the show that talked about being committed, you know, fall in love with the commitment, not so much the individual. Come on, Ms. Beverly, how can you just fall in love with the vows or the commitment without being in love with the person? Quickly, because we're almost out of time.
Well, you know, some people say love, but love is a serious thing. And some people say love just from the lips, but the heart is not love. So to form a commitment, it means that love has to first be portrayed. Like Jesus said, in so doing, men will know that you are my disciples. In so doing, people will know you love me. So love, some people say the word love, but it means nothing to them. Commitment will not be there unless you love somebody, truly love
them.
You will be dibber-dabbling. So, you know, I don't know.
I love what you just said. Lady C, we got this last comment at the end. We're going to let Ms. Cross close us out about could you love someone. Ms. Cross is going to give us a synopsis on could you like your significant other but not be in love with them. And what's the point? That's what I want to know, Ms. Cross. When you close us out, what's the point? And then I want you to take off the gloves and give it to us. But first, let's go. You got 20 seconds, Lady C. This female, she says, I think if more people were committed to their vows or promises that they make to their significant others, I think relationships and marriages would stand a much better chance. Fortunately, it seems people just run to the next relationship until they find themselves repeating the same thing over again. I don't think most people really know the meaning behind the word love. Lady C, 20 seconds. Is this person on point?
You know, Dr. Walker, I would say, what is commitment? Because
20 seconds now.
If you're with someone who can't stand you, commitment is worthless. If there's no love there or no communication to say, okay, express feelings of love and appreciation and gratitude, then the commitment is worthless because the person will not love you anyway. It doesn't matter how much you commit to them. And even though this program tonight did not start off as a Christian-related thing, it started off as a people thing. I would say, Christian or not, sometimes God gave us a chance to get out of some of these dynamic marriages, and we do not get out early, so we end up staying in it for too long and justify why we're in it. Oh, a sanctified wife sanctified her husband, and a sanctified husband sanctified her wife. You know what? We need to know the difference between God's word and the things we allow in our lives. That's just damning
everything.
Too many people die from cancer and all these things from these sick, pretentious, evil marriages.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I agree with you. And certainly on the program, we're not attacking marriage, but sometimes people, they want to give the pretense that they're in the right marriages. And remember, I've often said on my show, God is the author and creator of marriage, but God did not ordain every marriage. Not every marriage is of God. You know, marriage, not every marriage is of God. And so that's because if it was a marriage of God, it will stand a better chance of flowing naturally. Ms. Cross, we are out of time, but give us what's the point. Ms. Cross, we got to bring in here. Give us the final word. Liking your significant other but not being in love with them. Why stay in there all that time? What's the point, Ms. Cross? Close us out.
Yeah, you know what? I kept thinking you could run. That saying, you could run, but you can't hide. The thing is,
right.
You can run from the truth, but you can't hide the truth. And what happens is when you... You know, I just feel like life is not promised, right? So to live in a situation
right.
where you're unhappy and you're just going through the motions, you know, so what are you going to do? Forgive me. On your deathbed, you're going to lay there and say, wow, I should have did it different? Why? You're right. There's not a real reason or a real answer to live in a situation that is not of what God wants for you. Because there's no way you're going to be living in a situation that God has ordained for you and be miserable. I just don't think that's it. I don't think that's what God intended for our lives.
I don't either. On that note, we're clearly out of time. We've got another show coming up. Does God ordain every marriage? Oh, you all just want to continue to stay in with us on Thursdays or Fridays. Please, we're out of time now. Listen, join us here tomorrow night for your half-hour inspirational programming. That's a show that you really don't want to miss. If you were going to miss a show, you should have missed tonight's show. But tomorrow night's spiritual show, you don't want to miss that one. We've got a powerful show for you tomorrow night, beginning at 7 o'clock, and it's 1 hour inspirational show. So join us here again next Thursday. Of course, if you choose to bypass tomorrow night's show, join us back here live next Thursday for the Dr. Jess Walk Show. Until tomorrow night's show, until tomorrow night or until next Thursday, I say to my listening audience around the world, forgot my cue. Okay, until tomorrow night's show or until next Thursday, I say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody. Thank you so much.
Good night, everybody.
Everyone. Great show. God bless you all.
Good
stay
night,
safe.
Good night,
and bless.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. Beautiful.
Good night.
Great show as usual. Good night.